It's been a dry summer. Parts of York County are in the grips of what weather experts are describing as a severe drought. But so far, it all pales in comparison to what took place 200 years ago. 1816 was a horrific year for farmers across the Northern Hemisphere, with snow and hard frost all through what should have been the hottest months of summer. Jennifer Mitchell has this look at the extraordinary year without a summer.
Imagine, it's the middle of summer. The air should be hot and humid, beans should be halfway up the pole by now, and the corn should be knee-high. But in 1816, New Englanders are instead waking up to an unprecedented pall of white frost blanketing their already stunted seedlings.
I mean, in some cases, there was a half a foot of snow on the ground, places like Freiburg, in the middle of August. It was very serious. It was very serious because anything they planted was killed.
You might recognize that voice. It's none other than longtime MPBN meteorologist Lou McNally. McNally researched the weather of 1816 as part of his doctoral studies. McNally says the year started out okay, downright sultry in May. But by June, winter snows had returned with a vengeance. Not a single month went by in 1816 without a hard, killing frost. Horses were being fed birch twigs, and people resorted to slaughtering their farm animals. By mid-July, the landscape looked like November. And there was fear of widespread famine.
Well, people actually did go hungry. There's all kinds of diary reports about people having root stew and anything they could dig out of the barn boards.
At the time, no one really understood what was causing the bad weather. Some chalked it up to an act of God. Scientists thought maybe the sun had dimmed in its output, and that was causing the cold temperatures. But a year earlier, in April 1815, Mount Tambora in present-day Indonesia had blown its top. It was one of the most powerful volcanic blasts the world has ever experienced. Sean Burkle is a scientist with the Climate Change Institute at the University of Maine.
The eruption put enough material into the atmosphere and into the stratosphere that it was sufficient to produce a global cooling that lasted for several years, and really considering feedbacks in the system, probably the Tambora impact probably took several decades to completely wear off.
So 400 cubic miles of ash and debris managed to disrupt the climate for a couple of decades and led to hardships all across the globe, especially in the Northern Hemisphere. There were also social impacts. Burkle says about 10% of Maine's population pulled up stakes and moved.
A lot of people thought we need to get out of New England because our agriculture is not reliable. The weather's not reliable. People thought, well, this might be the new normal.
In a scene right out of The Grapes of Wrath, newspaper reports describe 15 to 20 wagons of disillusioned farmers leaving the region every day to seek their fortunes out west. At the time, that meant getting as far as Ohio. The migration itself was dubbed Ohio Fever, and there's been debate about the role that may have played politically here at home. Lou McNally has uncovered a theory that climate disruption led to Maine's statehood. Coastal merchants, he says, were desperate to separate from Massachusetts, but in previous years had been outnumbered by farmers whose crops were sold in Boston. By 1819, McNally says the population appears to have shifted, and so did support for independence.
You know, we might still be part of Massachusetts if that hadn't happened. Think about that. Oh, my goodness.
Other historians say there's evidence that statehood was viewed as a possible way to stop the outward migration from Maine. State historian Earl Shuttleworth says an article in a Portland broadsheet makes the assertion that independence would give people a new reason to remain.
If Maine is its own state, then it will be, you know, more attractive for people to stay here, you know, if we're governing ourselves.
Now, two centuries later, people are still struggling to understand climate and its effects. Volcanic activity continues to play a role. Remember the harsh winter of 2015? Sean Burkle at the Climate Change Institute says you can thank two volcanoes in Iceland for that. But the world has not seen an event anywhere close to what happened in 1816.
If there was another Tambora-sized eruption to go off in the next few years, there would be a big impact.
But Burkle says it would not create the same effects as what happened 200 years ago, and that's because of global warming. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Jennifer Mitchell.